Well, let me add my welcome to everyone who's here at the meeting. It's good to see each one of you, and we trust that the Lord will bless each one of us for being in his presence and considering his word together this evening. I'd like to read, please, in Matthew's Gospel and in chapter 7. I want to read the closing illustrations that the Lord Jesus brought before the people in what's called the Sermon on the Mount. When the Lord Jesus went up into the mountain, his disciples and others came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. And from chapters 5 through to 7 of Matthew's Gospel, we have what he taught. And we just want to read the closing verses from verse 13 of chapter 7 this evening. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. And the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Enter ye in at the straight," or at the narrow, "gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." And we look to God once again to bless too as the reading from his holy word this evening. You know, the Lord Jesus was the master illustrator, wasn't he? The Lord Jesus could take everyday things, things that were absolutely understandable and recognisable to everyone in the audience, and he could just take them and he could bring out from them a spiritual meaning. And we've seen three pictures this evening that the Lord Jesus brought before the people at the end of this sermon that he was speaking. He speaks about two gates and two roads. He speaks about trees. And he speaks about houses. And everyone knows what a house is. And everyone knows what a tree is. And everyone knows what a road is. And we can relate to these illustrations. And we can see immediately the things that he's bringing out from them. I want us to notice this evening that each picture, there's three pictures, each picture is made up of three sets of twos. Did you notice that? There's two gates leading to two roads, two ways, leading to two destinations. There's two different kinds of trees, bringing forth two different kinds of fruits. And there's two different ends of the trees. There's two different builders, building on two different foundations. And there's two different outcomes for the houses that are built. I want us to notice that in the first illustration, we have before us a road to be travelled. In the second illustration, and it comes particularly at the end of it, We notice a relationship to be enjoyed. And thirdly, I want us to notice that there's a rock-solid foundation to be built upon. When we come to the first illustration, we find that there's a choice that is to be made. I want to suggest this evening that that choice lies before us this evening. Before us, as we sit here in the meeting tonight, there are two roads that the Bible would set before us. Two possible ways to travel, only two. There is a broad gate, a wide gate. You might almost say a welcoming gate, a gate that's easy to get through, and a road that is maybe looks comparatively easy. And there is a narrow gate and a narrow road that maybe we might think would be difficult to travel. But you see, we've got a danger this evening as we're here in the meeting, and the danger is that we might look at the roads and not the destination. And the choices that people make in their lives are very often based on these things, that they'll look at the road and not where it's heading. You see, we can look at the broad road, and we can look at a road that is well populated, a road that you might expect that there'd be a lot of people on, a road that permits me to do what I like, really, a road that permits me to go my own way and do my own thing. Or we might think that such a road is attractive. And there are many that do think that such a road is attractive. And then we might look at the other road that is set before us, and that road is the road of Christianity. That road is the road of following Christ. That road is the road of putting my faith in Christ as my Saviour, and I look at that road, and I see that it's a difficult road. It's always the roads that lead uphill that are the most difficult, aren't they? And I might look at that road and I might say, well, it's a restricted road. That's the idea behind narrow is the way. It's a kind of restricted road. Because looking at it, I might say that travelling that road, I can't do what I like. And travelling that road, I can't go the way that I want to go. Travelling that road, there's maybe people that I have to leave behind. Travelling that road, there's maybe things that I have to leave behind. Things that are incompatible with that road. It was G.K. Chesterton that said, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. Christianity has been examined and found difficult and not tried. And I wonder if it is the road that's putting you off this evening. I wonder if it is looking at that road and thinking what it might mean for me that is putting you off going on it. But I want us to notice the destinations. For that broad road that seems attractive is a road that leads to destruction. So often, that road is a road that leads to self-destruction, because as human beings, as creatures that have a sinful nature, we're so good at pressing the self-destruct button in our lives, aren't we? I just heard today of someone who we knew, who last week died. And so often he'd been trying to get on the right road. So often he'd been trying to get back on the road, but he'd pressed the self-destruct button, and he kept pressing the self-destruct button. And as far as this life is concerned, his life is now finished. Left to ourselves, left to go our own way, that's what we do. And it might mean that we kind of have the self-destruct button in this life. But ultimately, it leads to the judgment of God in the life that is yet to come. And the reason for that is because that's the way we've chosen. The Lord Jesus set before the people two roads, and there's absolutely no need for anyone to end up where the broad road leads to. No need for it whatsoever. Because there is another road. There is another way. You see, as we read through the pages of our Bible, we find that judgment isn't something that God wants to mete out upon us. It's not something that he wants to give to us or do to us. Says the Bible, God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. We read of a God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't want to judge anybody. And the fact of the matter is, he doesn't need to. Because there is another way. And that road leads to life. Funnily enough, and it is a paradox, that life that we might consider to be restricted, and that life that we might consider to be a kind of a killjoy life that won't let me do what I like, is actually a life that is worth the living. That's what the Lord Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, and life in all its fullness. And it goes contrary to what we think. But I want to tell you that despite its difficulties, the Christian life is worth living. Because found in the person of Christ, as we're thinking this morning, is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. It's a road that leads to life. Life in all its fullness now, but it's a road that leads to life when we pass out of time and into eternity. I want to ask you this evening, which road are you travelling? Which road are you travelling? Which destination are you heading towards? Well, you say, how do I get on that road? How do I get onto that narrow road? Well, at the beginning of that narrow road, there's a gate. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the door. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Lord Jesus is the gate. Well, you say, well, what about the road? How do I know where the road goes? How do I know what the road is? Well, listen again to the Lord Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What about the destination? Well, Christ is the destination. Christ is the gate. Christ is the road. Christ is the destination. For heaven is being with Christ and being with him forever. Said Paul the Apostle, who had spent the early days of his life persecuting Christians and seeking to stamp out the name of Jesus Christ from the face of the planet. Says Paul, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. which is far better, very far better, better by far. Paul says, what does eternal life mean for you? What does death mean for you? Physical death. Says Paul, death is just the door to being with Christ and being with him forever. That's the answer. That's the destination of those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. What road are you travelling? What is your destination? I urge you, don't consider the road, but consider where it heads this evening. And the second illustration, the Lord Jesus is talking about reality. He's talking about how you can tell what's true and what's false, because he's talking about false prophets, those that are coming in his name. It says, they come to you dressed like sheep, but inside they're ravening wolves. Oh, they look gentle and meek and wouldn't hurt a fly on the outside, but inside there's a different story. You see, it's inside that counts. We so often, we like to dress up the outside. And we think that because people see the outside, that that's the bit that matters. But it's not. Because the Lord Jesus says, not just a choice that's to be made in two roads that stretch out before us, but a change that must take place. And he talks about those who would say, Lord, Lord. But they're not genuine. He would talk about those that would say, if you ask them, they say, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But there's never been a point in their life when a living relationship has been established with the Son of God. Listen to what he says. I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Oh, there was never a day when friendship was established. There was never a day when I put my trust in him as my saviour, and because of that we were brought together and we made friends. Oh, how dangerous to think that everything's all right, to say that everything's all right, but to have never been changed on the inside. You see, the Lord Jesus spoke about two different kinds of tree. He says, you don't go to a thorn bush and expect to find grapes on it, do you? You don't go to a thistle and expect to find figs on it. You don't get fruit from that kind of a bush or that kind of a tree. We can understand it, can't we? You see, it's in the nature of thorns, thorn bushes to produce thorns. It's in the nature of thistles to produce prickles. It's a grape tree, a grapevine that produces grapes. A fig tree that produces figs. An apple tree that produces apples. I could go on all evening. But you get the picture. If we want to produce fruit that is pleasing to God, there has to be a change, a fundamental change inside us to what we are. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. And the Bible says, really, we're all bad trees. Every single one of us, written over the whole of humanity, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that even if we try to keep the law, even if we try to follow the example of Christ, it's what's inside that counts. And it's what's inside that will keep on producing the same kind of fruit. We had the Bible exhibition this week and we were speaking to the children about Noah. And Noah came through the flood, didn't he? And Noah came out into a brand new world. It was a clean sheet, it was a clean page, it was a time to start afresh, a time for a complete new beginning. But you see, the difficulty was he was the same old Noah. And he had the same old sinful nature, and so did his sons and his sons' wives. And a brand new start became the same old stuff. And so often we might try to make a brand new start. But a brand new start just leads to the same old stuff. Why? Because there's been no change inside. Says the Lord Jesus, there's a change that must be made. There's a relationship that must be entered into. There has to come a point when we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. Says Paul again, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's it. That's the kind of brand new start that we're needing. That's the kind of fresh new start that God is talking about. A fresh new start that comes through salvation, through knowing the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. I want to tell you that if that never happens, then coming here every Sunday night isn't going to make a scrap of difference. And trying to live the best that we can isn't going to work. Because the only way to change the kind of fruit that we produce is to change the kind of tree that we are in the first place. A choice that's to be made, two roads that stretch out. A change that must take place. A question of reality. If I say that I'm a Christian, am I really a Christian? If I say that I'm a Christian, do I really know God? Do I really know Christ? Have I really been born again? The last illustration that the Lord Jesus uses is a question of safety or ruin, isn't it? And here in the last illustration, we have the consequences of the choice that is made. For there's two builders, and they're going to build two houses. And, you know, let me use my imagination, it could well be that these houses really looked identical to one another. And looking at these two houses, you would say, yes, they're both the same. They're both great houses. They're both solidly built houses. They're both well done, well finished. You'll notice that they both faced identical circumstances. That for each of them, the Lord Jesus says, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. It says that for both of them. So they both passed through the same circumstances. I want to tell you this evening that if you become a Christian, it won't make you immune from the circumstances of life. We still pass through the same things. We still lose those that we love. We still pass through times of illness. We still pass through times of difficulty at times. Financial difficulty, other difficulties that might come upon us. There are winds that blow in life. There are life storms that we face. But what's the difference? What's the difference why one comes crashing down and one stands firm? The difference is the foundation. The difference is the foundation. For you see, there's one man, and he's called the wise man. And he built his house upon the rock. And when the winds come, I want to suggest that though the winds beat upon the house, that's true. It's the rock that feels them most. It's the rock that bears the brunt of the storms. And I want to say that in life's troubles and in life's storms, if my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ for salvation, then he bears those storms for me. He bears the brunt of it. So as the scripture says, Peter, he says, you can cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But there's bigger storms, aren't there, than the storms that we face in life. There's a bigger storm that's coming. It's the storm of divine judgment. It's the storm of what would come against me because of my sin. And I want to tell you, if my life is built upon Christ, if my trust is in him, if my confidence is in him, if my all rests upon him as my Saviour and as my Lord, he's the one who's borne the storm for me. Think of Calvary. Said the psalmist, all thy waves and thy billows are passed over me. That was the experience of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Listen to the words of Jeremiah. He said, is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Now, in the immediate context, he was speaking about the city of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem had come under divine judgment, but prophetically, he was speaking about the Lord Jesus. He was speaking about the one who there at the cross bore the wrath of God against sin. He's borne the storm. He's borne the flood. He's borne the wind. He's borne the fire. He's borne the sword. He's borne everything. He has taken everything. And says the scripture, whoever trusts in him will never be disappointed. Will never be put to shame. Will never be let down. I wonder what kind of builder you are this evening. Are you like the wise man? What foundation are you building your life on? There's a great hymn that, yeah. Some build their life on the ever-shifting sand. Mine's on the rock that will always stand. Jesus, the rock of ages. Two roads. A choice that is to be made. A change that must take place. A question of reality. The consequences, a foundation to be built upon. What's our foundation on this evening? Is it Christ? Is it his work? Is it what he's done at Calvary? Or am I still hoping against hope upon something else? May the Lord help us this evening to just understand the truth of these simple pictures that the Lord Jesus brought before the people all those years ago. And we trust that they'll speak in freshness and in power to each of our hearts this evening. Shall we pray? Now, Father, we thank thee this evening for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, Father, for the masterful way in which he could take the everyday things of life and could just bring a spiritual application out of them that people could understand. Our Father, we pray that nothing of the force of them might have been lost in the preaching this evening. We pray, Father, that we might examine each of our hearts to make sure that we really do belong to the Lord Jesus. And if we don't this evening, our Father, we just pray so we might understand the choice that is to be made. We might understand, our Father, that the only safe and the only secure foundation is the Lord Jesus. That the only gate, the only road, the only path to life is him and what he has done for us. Our Father, we just pray that thou blesses them, bless thy word to each of our hearts this evening. We commit ourselves into thy hands as we go home now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.